approach your throne of mercy this morning, knowing that you are the Word. And Father, your mercy lays within your Word. And you came down with a shout in this hour, and you brought a message, O God. And that message is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, you are here to transform us by the renewing of our mind, to make us into the son and daughter that you saw within your own self before the foundations of the world. Help us, O God, as we study thy word this morning and yield ourselves to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, last week we looked at paragraph 109 through 114 of Brother Branham's sermon, The Unveiling of God. And we showed how the human veil that God uses always blinds the people to the manifestation of the Word. And remember, the manifestation of the Word is the interpretation of the written Word. So never forget that. This morning we're going to pick up at paragraph 116 and read from 123 from Brother Branham's sermon, Unveiling of God. And in the next eight paragraphs, we're going to see how Brother Branham identifies the veil of traditions and creeds which blinds the people to the right interpretation of God's Word for the season, which is the manifestation of the Word. Now remember, Brother Ramsey, God interprets His Word by bringing it to pass, which is the manifestation. So if there is no manifestation, there's no interpretation. All right, do we all understand that? Now let's read 116. Behind the old temple, in the veil, what was back behind there? What was Jehovah? What was hid back there? What was the veil hiding? Oh, hallelujah. What was the veil hiding? It was hiding the Word. Let me see here.
Thanks.
Okay. It was hiding the Word. Now, I want you to keep this thought in your mind as we continue through the next eight paragraphs, because he's telling us here that the veil, which he has established as traditions and creeds, is what hides the right interpretation of the Word, which God makes known by using a human veil to manifest the Word, given us by manifestation the right interpretation of the Word. In other words, because of their blindness is their veil of traditions. It's the veil of church creeds. It's the veil of, well, our church don't believe that. You know. And when they see that human veil, which God is manifesting His Word through, they're blind to it. All right? So, but as we pointed out last week, but the true, the elect, those with the Holy Ghost, they see that human veil and say, wait a minute now. I've got to get my eyes off the veil because no man can do those things. You see? That's the difference. You know, the Bible says that those with the Holy Ghost only can understand the Word of God. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 through 14. He says, no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. Alright. Now, he says, those that have the Spirit of God in them, they rightly divide the Word of truth. It says, those with the Spirit of God in them, they search all things, yea, the deep things of God, comparing spiritual with spiritual. So they see the man, they know he's a man of God. But they say, just a minute now, even though he's a man of God, he can't do those things. Nobody can do those things. Only God can do those things. You see? That's the Holy Ghost in you, showing you that. Others, they see that human vessel. They say, eighth grade education. They say, talks like a hillbilly. They say, is it up to the standard of our PhDs, LLDs, QRDs, whatevers? So we don't have to listen to it. That's where they made their fatal mistake. He continues saying the veil, the old badger skins, was hidden, hiding the Word to their eyes natural. Behind there also was the showbread. What's the showbread? It's the Word. See? Behind there also was the Shekinah glory. What's the glory? It's the doxa of God. It's the opinions and values and judgments of God. You see? He descended with a shout. What is that? It's the glory of God. The Bible says you come in great power and glory. Glory, doxa. Opinions, values, and judgment. What is the message? It's the opinions of God, the values of God, the judgments of God, the conduct, the order, the doctrine. You see? Now, but it was hid from them. It was all hid. All the glory of God was right behind that old badger skin. That's right. All hid to the natural eye. It is today, too. Mm-hmm. It's called a bunch of holy roller fanatics. But they don't know what's behind there. See? That's right. They don't know. See? Then when God in mercy rent the veil from them, or for them to see, they were so wrapped up in their traditions, it was still hid to them, even to this day. In other words, God came into the body of His Son at the River Jordan. You see, Jesus, the man, was born not in sin like you and I. He was born of virgin birth. God created that egg and that cell, placed in the womb of the woman. But He came forth into the world, and there's never any sign of power until after the River Jordan, when He was baptized with the Holy Ghost. God entered Him. John said, I see the Spirit of God descending like a dove, as a dove would descend, and abiding with Him and remaining upon Him. God entering His Son. After that, He went forth doing many mighty miracles, etc. You know, as the Bible tells us. So God used that vessel, that veil, that had grown up to be 30 years old, hadn't used it yet, entered into that vessel that the neighbors knew. Oh yeah, he's Jesus, son of Joseph and Mary. Oh, we know him. He was illegitimately born. She had to get married. God used that veil and began to manifest Himself. He didn't manifest Jesus, the man. The man Jesus, He said, Father, the Son can do nothing but what He sees the Father do. That doeth the Son likewise. And so Jesus stepped out of the sea. And Jesus watched the vision unfold. And in the vision that God, in the vision, was showing Him, this man here is going to be, you're going to lay your hands on Him, and He's going to be raised from the dead. So Jesus walked past 300 people in the pool of Siloam. Mm-hmm. And He did exactly what the vision called Him to do. His brother Brad said, the hat had to be on the chair. I couldn't pronounce healing until that hat was on the chair. That man was sitting there. That woman was sitting there. Then I knew the vision was complete. And when that happened, He said that he waited like something like 8 to 12 hours. He said, I waited all day. And there were just people getting up and going out and this and that. He said it was just very frustrating, but I just sat there and I waited. People were probably wondering, well, Brother Branham, when are you going to pray for him? When are you going to pray, Brother Branham? You see, people all want, when are you going to do it? Do it now, do it now. I can't do it until God chose me to do it. Then when God shows you to do it and you do it, you see, you could pray all day long and anoint that person in the bed all day long and nothing's going to happen. You understand that? And until God puts it in your heart to do it, and when He does put it in your heart and you do it, it'll be done. People don't understand prayer. They think, oh, just ask God. God's a puppy dog. No. God do this. God do that. No, God don't work that way. God has to show you it's a done deal. Then when He shows you it's a done deal, then you pray in acknowledgement, saying, Father, I know what you call me to do, and I'm here in the name of the Lord, and I'm laying hands. And then it's done. It's a done deal. Then when God in mercy rent the veil for them to see, notice, God rent the veil for them to see. Remember, in the temple, the veil was over the Ark of the Covenant. It hid the Ark of the Covenant from the people. When Jesus was dying on the cross, that veil on the cross was rent. God rent the veil in the temple, showing them this is that. And there were still people caught up in their traditions and creeds to see what God was doing. God help us in this hour, is my prayer. They were so wrapped up in their traditions, it was still hid to them even to this day. Same now. The glory, remember the glory, is the opinions, the values, the judgment of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah glory. Now notice, it is God's glory that comes upon the believer, And that glory, which is God's opinions, God's values, and God's judgment, is to manifest itself in the lives of the believers in this last day. Let's just read it for ourselves. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance in flaming fire, coming down, that pillar of fire coming down, taking vengeance upon them that know not God, that ginosko not God, that have not an experiential relationship with God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction out from the presence of the Lord. They don't believe in the parousia, they don't believe in the presence. And from the glory of his power, the doxa of his power, the opinions, the values, and judgments of his power, when he shall come to be what? Glorified in his saints. That word glorified, notice in his saints. That word is en doxazo of God, magnified in the zoe of God. In other words, en, being in, doxa, the opinions, the values, and judgment of God, zoe, the life. When he comes to be magnified, when his doxa comes into the life of his saints. That's his silence. How do you expect to get a body change if you're not changed by the renewing of your mind? It comes by receiving the Holy Spirit, the Holy life. People say, well, I got the Holy Ghost. They go out and fornicate. They go out and live in adultery. They don't have the Holy Ghost. I don't care who they are. They don't have the Holy Ghost. It's a holy life. And to be admired in all them that believe. That's a true believer. Because our testimony among you, Paul's gospel among you was believed in that day. Remember Brother Branham stood there in the vision after he was translated. He said, well, does Paul have to stand before his group? Yep. Well, I only preach what Paul preached.
Amen.
They said, we're counting on that, Brother Branham. We're counting on that, Brother Branham. Now, who said that? Those people that believed Paul's gospel. And they heard Brother Branham preach it. In other words, they could take what William Branham said and take it right back to this Bible and know, word for word, he was saying what the Apostle Paul taught.
Right.
Not just, well, Brother Branham said this, Brother Branham said that, Brother Branham said this, like a robot. No. William Branham said what Paul said, and here I can show it to you right in the Scriptures. And we're counting on that, Brother Brad. And that is this day when he said that he only preached what Paul preached. Wherefore also, Paul says, we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, this invitation, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be what? Glorified where? In you. Endox azod in you. That the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the endox, maybe endox azod, may be in your life, zoe, or in your zoe, doxa, opinion, value, judgment. In other words, that the mind of Christ would be in who? You. That's the invitation that you've been called to. That's his calling. And you and him. According to the grace of our Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, remember, this is exactly what Jesus prayed just before going to the Garden of Gethsemane. We read in John 17:20, he says, neither pray I for these alone. You know, those that are with me right now, those 12. Those 11, actually. But for them also, which shall believe in me through their word. So whose word? John? Matthew? Mark? You know the different ones? James? Judah? But for them also which, Peter? For them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may know, may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, the doxa, the opinions, values, and judgments which thou gavest me. What did he give them before the foundation of the world? Mary said, Father, restore the glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world. That thou hast given me, that I have given them. That they may be one, even as in the same way we are one. You see, God was not one with Jesus like your fingers one. God was in Christ. The water is in the glass. The water is not the glass. Neither is God the Son. He's the Son of God. You see? And the glory which thou gavest to me, I've given to them. The same opinion, the same values, the same judgments. That's what came down with the shout. God brought his doxa with a shout, and William Brown gave us God's opinions. He gave us his judgments, his values, and it changed you from being a worldly person to a lovely, righteous person. And that the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, in the same way we are one. Now, listen, I am them. Who is Jesus? He was the manifested Word. Well, who's God? He is the Word. And when the Word, God, entered His Son, Jesus became the manifestation of the Son. I, the manifested Word, might be in them. And thou, the Word, in me. That they may be made perfect in one. The Word manifested. The Word projected. The life projected, that they may be made perfect, may be complete, may be made mature through that one Word projecting through their life. I and them, thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. So it's not really mine, but like Jesus said, I don't say anything but what the Father commanded me what to say. The Son can do nothing but what the Father showed him to do. And that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. Notice that Jesus prayed to his Father for us, that we would all be one. In the same way he and the Father were one, and he said, I have given them thy glory, thy doxa, thy opinions, thy values and judgments, that they may be one in the same way you and I are one. And then in verse 26 he says, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it again. Where? When that God life that was shed on Calvary lives in you and I. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. See, there it is right there. How am I going to declare it again? That it may be in them. And I in them. And we heard Paul tell us the same thing, that we would actually glorify the name of Jesus in us. Notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we already read this, that the name of Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. The name of Jesus Christ, glorified in you. Now, Brother Brown, when he was speaking, the believer, when he was speaking, that the believer manifesting the very glory of God, he clarified this with, now I mean the real believer, that causes the works of God and the faith to come into him to believe the word of God, that's all hid to them eyes, and they say, oh, them things are past. You see, they're still living behind a veil. You're not behind that veil anymore, little ones. God comes in full view of you. Now, the other day, Brother Fred Softman, Brother Tom Simpson, I don't know whether he ever got here or not, but several of us was up at a Baptist church, and the minister said something that sounded pretty good. All of us said amen. Everybody in the church stretched up their necks, and they looked back. See, we found a crumb that come from behind the Shekinah there, you know, and we're kind of glad to get it. And we said, in other words, thank you, Lord, see? And when they did, these fellows were so veiled that they just laughed at us. They didn't know what it was all about, see? And they're still veiled. So there's some inside and some outside. There's your twins again. Now the statement that he says here, that there are some inside and there are some outside, is in reference to Mark chapter 4, verse 10. Also Matthew 13, verse 10 to 17. And when he was alone, they that were about with him, with the 12, asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, on the outside, all these things are done in parables. There's your mention of the ones on the inside and the ones on the outside that Brother Branham is referring to. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. So we have two groups here, ones that see and perceive, and ones that see and do not perceive what they see. Now remember, to see means to actually understand the interpretation of the written word as it is manifested to you. That is how God interprets his word, by bringing it to pass, which is manifestation. Now, so if they see but they don't see, he's talking about their eyes, they see with their eyes what's going on, but because of the blindness of the traditions, they don't recognize that that vessel is housing God. So they see but they really don't see what's going on. So one group sees the manifestation of the written word and therefore understand that this is God's interpretation of his word. In other words, one group sees this man, William Branham, and they look at Malachi 4 and they say, wow. Yeah, there it is. They see Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Yeah, the Lord himself came down. And there's the man, there's the earthly prophet. They see Luke 17, 30. That's a son of man, revealing the son of man. But the others, they look at it and say, well, you know what, he's just a gifted man. Just a gifted man. Sometimes he's right, sometimes he's wrong. Well, tell me when he's ever been wrong. Well, he says 700 versus 7,000. Yeah, that's the man. Men make mistakes. That's right. Brother Brown said, I make mistakes all the time, but this word cannot make a mistake. The manifestation of the revelation cannot make a mistake. Now, your words can make mistakes. You can say, well, it was on this date when it was actually on this date. Things like that. That's a man. That's a man part. But the revelation, the manifestation. Like Brother Branham, the visions don't make mistakes. Well, Brother Branham, you didn't get that bear. He will. If Jesus caught fish after the resurrection, Jesus can, Brother Branham can kill that bear during the time of the resurrection when it's coming up. It's going to be a season. It was 40 days in the Alpha. It's going to be 40 days in the Omega. Brother Branham said 6 weeks. That's 42 days. He said about 6 weeks. That would make it 40. You see? So one group sees the manifestation of the written word and therefore understands that this is God's interpretation of that word. While the others are blinded by their own traditions, and even though they may see the manifestation of the word, yet because they look through the filter of their church traditions and creeds, they do not understand what it is that they're looking at. Well, Brother Brad, wow, he sure had a gift. I don't know the Bible. Since when does God vindicate a man with thus saith the Lord, and the man don't understand the word?
That's right.
They don't understand the word. They just prove it. That is the same way the foolish virgin miss him. Listen, the foolish virgin and the wise virgin both heard the midnight cry. They both heard the shout, the message. So these are message people. The foolish virgin is not out there in denomination any longer. They came out to meet him. Right? Is that what the Bible says? They hear the same midnight cry or shout that the wise virgin hear, the same message, but because their lamps are gone out, clouded over by their traditions and creeds, they do not see the presence of the groom in their midst. But the wise virgin, knowing the word and having the Holy Ghost, they hear the same message, the same shout, the same midnight cry as the foolish virgin heard. But when they come out to meet him, which is what the midnight cry stated, come out, behold, behold, which means look and see, he's here, come out to meet him. And when they do, they are not looking for a veil with nail-scarred hands, but they are looking for the word to be manifested the same way God always manifested his word. One was looking for a certain kind of veil that their traditions and creeds taught them to look for, and so they missed the real manifestation of the Word in their midst. You see, it's all about the Word, the manifested Word. And so he said unto them, know ye not this parable, and how will you know all parables? The sower soweth what? The Word. And these are they that by the wayside, where the Word is sown, but when they have heard, with the ear, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Immediately. And these are they likewise who that they have heard the word, it's the same word, immediately receive it with gladness. Oh, wow, that's really great. I've never heard preaching like that before. And have no root in themselves. You see, they're not predestinated. And so and they endure for a time. Afterward, though, when time has passed, when afflictions or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, it chokes the person? No. Chokes the word. And it, the word, becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. In other words, hearing, recognizing, and then acting upon the word. Now back to Brother Graham's sermon, paragraph 119. But God, in full view of us, hid. Say now. Then when God, in his mercy, rent the veil, he was brought into plain view. But they were so wrapped in their traditions, he was still hid from them. The same God. All that glory, your opinions, values, and judgments of God, hid, is hid for us in Christ the Word. Remember, he said, this which has been hidden for ages is to be manifested for us. That's what Paul said. Who is our temple, he says. Is hid for us in Christ. Remember, the anointed, the Word. The anointed Word. Is hid in the anointed Word. Who is our temple? Now. Okay, now. Now. I'm going to have to dig down in just a little bit. Excuse me for my emotions this morning, but I wanted to give this out so long. It's just binding up in me, see? Notice all the glory, remember that's what glory is, the dosa, it's the opinions, values, and judgment of God, that is in God, is in the Word. Hallelujah. Do I need the Holy Ghost himself, the person of God, to come into me like he came into Jesus? I need his Word. My words are what, Jesus said? Spirit. And they are life. I'm not talking about the written text. I'm talking about the life of that word coming into me. All the glory that is in God is in the Word. All the blessing that's in God is in the Word. It's hid to the unbeliever by traditions. All the blessings. You want healing? It's right there. Open your Bibles. Don't need to go to doctors. Don't need to have a puppy full of their venom. Go to the Word. He is our healer. He is the great physician. All the blessings that's in God is in the Word. It's hid to the unbeliever by tradition. See what I mean? But it's all in Christ. All that God was, he emptied himself, you know, and came into Christ, and we, into Christ, are behind the veil. Well, I'm into Christ, you say, and then believe there are three gods? Baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Believe in all these traditions and things that you believe in of the elders? No. You're still behind the veil. See? Come into the veil. He, Christ, is the Word. Come into this Word. How? I don't believe in divine healing. I don't believe in these miracles and things like that. Well, you see, you're not inside the veil. You don't know nothing about it. See? Christ is the Word. And when we're in the Word, we're in Christ. And how can I be in Christ behind Christ? It's he that said, not one word shall be added to or taken from. How can you take from and add to then? See, it shows you what veil that's got you veiled away. See, we in him. Then we, being in him, we are still veiled to the religionists and professors of the world. See, our glory that we have and enjoy, and we are still veiled to them, outsiders. They think that we're crazy, a nut again. See, that's right. But we who are in here, in Christ, baptized into him, 1 Corinthians 12, into him, we are partakers of his glory, his opinions, his values, his judgments. See? But not on the outside. You're still looking in, denying it. So now we are invited into him to be partaker of all that he is. We're invited into him, which is hid to unbelievers by the veil of human flesh. See, they know that glory. They read of it. It's in the word here, see, of the glory of God and things like that. It's just a word to them. To us, here's a key. To us, it's a manifestation. Well, you say, I believe all the message. Are you living it? Because if you're not living it, the manifestation is not there. You see what he's saying? If it's not expressed in your person, in the way you live, think, do, act, it's just a word to you. People can fuss over that word. But to us, he says, it's not a word, it's a manifestation of the revelation. If Noah would not have had a revelation that it was going to rain, he would not have built the ark. But he built that ark. That was an expression of his manifestation. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. He offered up a bleeding, dying lamb. And then Abel became a bleeding, dying lamb. You become your revelation. Paul said, in this hour, there will be manifestation of the sons of God. What does that mean? They will manifest as sons of God. Well, how did Jesus manifest? Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. The Son can do nothing but what the Father shows him to do, and that's what the Son likewise. Now, if that's the way the Son of God was manifested as the Son of God, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered, then won't we do the same? If you are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, if I can't see it in your life, you're not being conformed. Well, in my mind, I'm thinking about all these wonderful, beautiful, you know, things that God taught us. It's got to drop from here to here, brother, or you don't even have it yet. He said, it's just a word to them, a message, you know. To us, it's a manifestation. I hope you're getting what he's saying here. This is so rich what he says here. It is not just a word to us, it is a manifested word. And thus, it is a reality to us because we see it and know by seeing. And that makes us one with that word. And Father, I pray that they will be one with us. And the dosa which you gave me, I have given them that they may be one with us. The revealed, manifested word. I in them, the manifested word, and you, the word, in me. And then Brother Bram says, well, it is no more a word, it's a reality. It's no more here. It's here. It's no more a word, it's a reality. Amen. God said, let there be light. That was the word. But now there is light. It ain't the word, it's the light. See what I mean? When that word becomes manifested in you, it is no longer just words in a book, but is now a living, breathing reality of God life in you. The same God life that was in His Son is in you. You know, because He is manifesting His word through you. That's how you know. Until that happens, you're only believing unto. And I'm sorry, many people are just believing unto. From five identifications, Brother Ram says, now, did you know? You say, well, Brother Brown, I believe. Well, listen, and I've never received the Holy Ghost. No, you don't believe yet. You're just believing unto belief. You have hope. For in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the 3rd verse, let's just grab that right quick. while we're close to it, if you want to. 1 Corinthians 12, the 12th chapter, 3rd verse. And we'll get to that just quickly here. 1 Corinthians 12, all right, and 3rd verse. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus a curse. And no man can say Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. You see, it's not the words. It's the words that express who you are. Let me just say this. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Is that what the Bible says? That's true. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Therefore, no man can say that Jesus is the Christ, except the heart speaketh that he is the Christ. And how do you know that? Because he's manifested in me. His life is in me. So questions and answers to Yoda. He says, now, before you've received the Holy Ghost, you're believing unto eternal life. But you do not have eternal life until you receive the Holy Ghost, because it is eternal life. The Holy Ghost is God. It's God's life in you. Then you got eternal life. Do you understand it now? See? Now look, see? You're believing unto... Now wait, here's a good thing. You women, excuse me for this a little bit. Sounds too flat. See, make a point. A mother, it's life, but still that baby isn't born. If you treat that baby right and follow the rules of nature, that baby will be born normally. But if you don't apply everything to the rules of nature, you let a hard bruise or a hit or something take place, it's going to ruin it. See? It'll kill the baby before it's born. It's talking about the new birth as well. Excuse me. Now, for what the Holy Ghost was given, before Brother Branham said, a brother said to me the other day, he said, Brother Branham, or some time ago, months ago, he said, Brother Branham, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. I said, truly? He said, what more can a man do than believe? I said, well, that's all man can do. That's all he can do today is believe God. But God gave him a seal of circumcision. That we went through last night as a sign that he had accepted his faith in him. You see, people said to Brother Branham, as children, they said, well, Brother Branham said, do you understand what I just said today in the service? No, Brother Branham, I really didn't. He said, that's okay. So all you got to do is believe. And so they take that and they run with it and they say, well, see, you don't have to understand it, you just have to believe. That's not what he said. This is a child without the Holy Ghost. Right here, he's saying the same thing. That's all today a man can do is to believe God. That's all a man can do. That's all he can do today is believe God. But God gave him a sign of circumcision that he went through last night as a sign that he had accepted him by faith. And today, until God, you believe him. You believe unto him when you accept him as your personal Savior. But when God gives you the seal of the Holy Ghost, he sealed you to your eternal destination. Now, you Baptists take that, and I'll go with you on eternal security, yes, sir, because grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. You're not sealed by believing unto, but sealed by the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. That sealed you. When you found favor with God, and he seals you by the Holy Spirit, that's so, for the Bible said so. No man can call Jesus the Christ, but only by the Holy Ghost. Well, Paul tells us that once you have received the Holy Ghost, he says you know the things of God. You'll understand the things of God. You understand the difference between believing and understanding? Too many people today, they believe they have the Holy Spirit, and yet they go out and do things the Holy Spirit would never do. Remember, it is the Holy Spirit, not an unholy spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, your life will declare holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Now remember, Paul said, I pray that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified, endoxazo, in your zoe, doxa, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, for unto us a child is born. Well, if his child is born, then someone had to carry him. Someone had to give him birth. Unto us a son is given. If he's given, he's a gift. The giver is greater than the gift. And his name shall declare, shall be called. That means to declare. His name shall be declare the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. He said, no man has seen the Father at any time, but the Son hath declared him. Well, if Paul says, you also will declare that name, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified, endos azo, in you, that means that your life will declare the Son of God. That you are a son of God. Manifested in you. From what the Holy Ghost has given for us, and now let me finish reading John 14:12. Now in the 14th chapter, 12th verse, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth, and you cannot believe, believe on me, you can believe unto him." Now how many understand that? Say amen. You remember in Acts 19, I hate to stop this here, but just have to say this as it comes to me. In Acts the 19th chapter, when this Baptist preacher, which was a lawyer and was converted, and he was preaching and getting people saved, and they had a great joy just rejoicing and shouting and having a meeting, Acts 19:18, Aquila and Priscilla, we referred to it last evening. And they had went to see him, and they know he was a great man, and he was a student. And he was praying by the Bible that Jesus was the Son of God, only knowing the baptism of John. He didn't know the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet. So he said, "Aquila and Priscilla, that husband and wife, little tent makers," which Paul was a tent maker too, "and they'd received the Holy Ghost under Paul's teaching. And they said, we've got a little brother that's coming up here. Let him talk to us a little bit about it." And when Paul came up and heard him preach, knowing he was a great man, he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said, "Well, we know not whether there be any Holy Ghost." He said, "Then what was you," or to the real Greek word there is, "how was you baptized?" And they said, "We have been baptized already by John the Baptist." Now watch what Paul said. Paul said that John verily baptized unto repentance, not for remission of sins, but unto repentance, saying, that's what you believe when you accept Christ as your personal Savior. You're believing unto the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost, my dear brother, Baptist brethren. It is wrong. So many people that claim that they're believers are believing unto, but until you receive the Holy Ghost. Because, and that's why they don't understand the things of God. That's why they can listen to the message and they just don't know it from this word. But if this word is living in you, he said, when the Holy Ghost comes, he will bring all things to your memory. Did he say that? Okay. Now, from what the Holy Ghost was given for, it said, you are not converted until you receive the Holy Ghost. That's right. You're believing on two. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, and you're publicly confessed him. The devil has the same thing. I believe him to be the Son of God. So does the devil. But you're walking on towards him. When Peter had been called and justified by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and in John 17:17, Jesus sanctified them through the Word, for the Word was truth, and he was the Word. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Word. So he sanctified them. He said, Father, speaking to the Spirit in him, I sanctify them through the Word. Himself laying his hands upon them, thy word is truth. Just merely spoke him into existence in the womb of a woman. Oh, totally impossible for him to be any other way than this word of God to make him manifest. I sanctify them. Now, from his sermon, questions and answers, Brother Ramsey. Now, the next question is it true that you are not saved until you have received the Holy Ghost? Well, there could take about a good 5-hour discussion on that. When you accept Christ as your Savior and are ready for baptism in water, you have not yet been converted. You're only believing unto repentance. Conversion means to be changed. I remember a young man in college, and the Lord was working on me. I'd received a church aid book and seals, and I didn't want to hang around with the party people. So I Friday nights I'd go over to a one that's Pentecostal. They had a campus up there in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I was attending, and I just go there and hear preaching on Friday night. That'd be good. And I walked in the door, and two of the brethren there, they met me at the door and said, have you seen the Holy Ghost? I said, no. They said, well, have you ever spoken tongues? I said, yes. Well, then you got the Holy Ghost. I said, no. I said, Balaam thought he spoke in tongues. Balaam understood him in his own language. But Jesus said to Peter, when you're converted, strength of the brethren. I knew I hadn't been converted yet. I knew I was believing on two, but I knew it wasn't there yet because I didn't see that light. Now, I hope you're understanding what I'm saying here. If there's not a conversion, if you haven't had a real conversion, you're not born again. I'm sorry. You're not born again. You say, well, I believe the message. What is the message? Tell me what the message is. Well, God sent a prophet. That's not the message, brother, sister. The message is the same life that was in God is in you. And the same manifestations that took place in his life. I'm not preaching that you got to go out and try to manifest it. You don't do anything except for believe. God does a manifestation. You see, it is God that works in you to will and to do. It's just yielding yourself to him. We saw a ministry that was to get the hearts of the children in sync with the hearts of the fathers. To change the hearts, the understanding of the children back to the understanding of the fathers. It's not God sent a prophet. It's God himself has come down. There's an appearing before the coming. There's 84 promises associated with the parousia of Christ. Jesus taught the parousia of Christ. So did Paul. Paul said, if you don't teach what I'm teaching, he said, you got a wrong spirit. You're cursed. Peter taught it. John taught it. James taught it. It's in all the Bible, all the New Testament. It simply means his presence. There comes a time in history when the presence of God comes back in a way it hasn't been done before, except in his Son. We saw it in this day. Brother Rass said, you know who I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for him. I'm helpless unless he's on the scene. I'm waiting for him to come. That's what it's all about, brother, sister, is walking in his presence, laying in the presence of the Son, and ripening and maturing as Christians. Now, getting back to the unveiling of God, we'll pick up paragraph 122. Now, it isn't just a written word to us, it's a reality. We are in him. Now. Now we're enjoying him. Now we behold him. You know the word behold means see. Now we see him, the word, manifesting himself. Where? In ourselves. It's God life. It's God thoughts. It's God speaking. It's God walking. It's God acting. It is hid out there because why? It's veiled in human flesh. See? Oh, they say that bunch of people, where they go to school? What education do they have? Where do they come from? What group do they belong to? See, they don't get it. A man said to another man the other day, he said, you have to belong to a denomination to be a Christian. He said, I am a Christian. I don't belong to any of them. Said, God taking this cancer out of me. Said, now, what do you think about that? It was a doctor. He said, show me the denominations doing it. See? All right. See? It's still veiled. But we're inside of Christ. Now as then, all true believers see him. This is very important. Etch this into your mind. All true believers see him, the word of promise of this day, openly manifested. People keep looking back. God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. And yet the Bible says we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. Show me where it's happening. The Bible says that as sons of God, we are to manifest as sons of God. And Brother Brown said that's before the rapture, before the millennium. He said it is now. Now we are sons. We are adopted sons, or we are on our way to adoption. When you're born of the Spirit of God, you're in the family. But until you're fully to the place, fully mature, to where you're about your Father's business, you're not ready for adoption. So, we see these promises in here, but do we see them manifesting in here? Because until you see that promise in here, it's only a word. But Brother Ramsey, to us, to them it's a word. To us, it's a manifestation. We're inside of Christ. Now as then, all true believers see him. The word of promise in this day openly manifested. That's a big word, if you can get it. All true believers, that's in the word, see God openly. The veil's rent, and God stands openly before you manifested. See? God manifested openly. In order to do this, our old denominational traditional veil must be rent. In order to really see what it is, you've got to come out from among that stuff. See? You'll never do it. They'll keep pulling that veil before you every time. Oh, there's nothing to that. But here it's written, and here it is made manifest. You see? You see? Now, from his sermon, Rising of the Sun, Brother Brown said that at the dynamics, if it comes upon water, it'll just sputter. Days of miracles is past, put, 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 put. Oh, I believe divine, pump, 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 pump. But they don't pump, pump, pump. See? But when it hits that 1,000 octane, and away she goes. See? Now, my, the dynamics strike that. And if it strikes a chicken, it won't do good. But when it strikes an eagle, he moves. Amen. The dynamics with the mechanics, you see what I mean? That is, if he is a true eagle now, he will understand. What do you say? A true eagle will understand. Let me straighten a little scripture for you here. I think that we're off the phone, but we're still here. St. John 5:24, Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. Then immediately he says, that is, if he is a true eagle, he will understand. Then Brother Brown begins to show us how people read the scripture wrong and with no understanding. And that's why they're so messed up in their doctrine. So he is trying the mechanic, he is tying the mechanics, which is the understanding of the word, with the dynamics, which is the manifestation of the word. Letting us know that we must have both in order for the word to become manifested. You have not only got to have an understanding of what this says, but you've got to have a manifestation of what this says. He takes us to the scripture, John 5:24, and shows us how the people read that wrong. St. John 5:24 said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. Then he continues from the rising of the sun. He says, now, look, I go down the street and just take that literally and what it is, without the spiritual understanding. Now, not making it say something else, but just saying what it is does say. See, the right word there in the Greek is the original. It says, he that understandeth my word. Now, to prove that's right, I go down here and here's a drunk coming along the street and with some other man's wife in his arm and cussing and taking out his name in vain and everything else like that. And you say, did you hear what the preacher said? Did you? And, yeah, I heard it. That don't mean that he's got eternal life. See? He that understandeth my word. He that is an eagle. Now, Brother Brown, I want more scripture than that. All right. My sheep hear my voice. A stranger, they won't follow. Now, we know the brother has taught us that hear means to understand. My sheep understand my voice. A stranger, they won't follow. All right? He that understandeth my word. Now, Matthew 13:10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it's given for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. From rising of the sun again, he said, now, the Holy Spirit comes. Now, of course, it wasn't sent. Why won't all the people receive it? It wasn't sent to them. A guy told me, I don't believe it. He said, I don't care what you say. If you can raise up the dead or anything else and heal the sick and prove it anyway, I still don't believe it. And I said, well, certainly not. You're an unbeliever. It don't mean a thing to you. It wasn't even sent to you. It's sent to those who believe. The message is to the believer. To them that perish, it's foolishness. But to them that are in Christ, a part of that seed, it's life. Now notice that Jesus says the same thing in verse 11. When he says, to them it is not given. So you see, this message, it wasn't sent to them. And that is because they're not made to be able to understand it. I was at Brother Vail's one time and we were having lunch. And a man calls to argue with Brother Brown. Brother Vail, Brother Vail says, not son, I just don't argue with people. If you want somebody to argue with, call my good friend Brian Kasorek, and his cell phone number is, he gives my telephone number, and then he hangs up real quick. I looked at him and said, well, thanks a lot, Brother Vail, as if I want to argue with somebody. So the man called me a few days later, he says, well, you know, Brother Brown was wrong when he said that God left Jesus before, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I said, brother, where'd you get your vindication from? Who vindicated you? Well, what I mean is that there's no scripture for it. I said, if I can give you scripture for it, would you believe it? Well, yeah, you give me scripture, I'll believe it. I said, all right. Jesus cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The word forsaken means totally abandoned. Three gospels say it. Bear witness to it. Well, I still don't believe it. I said, of course not, because you're an unbeliever. Well, that's not very nice. You shouldn't call me an unbeliever. I said you don't believe it. That makes you an unbeliever. People don't even know the words that come out of their mouth. Listen, by your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. When you say that you don't believe something a vindicated prophet of God teaches, it condemns you as an unbeliever right there. End of point. End of story. No sense even talking to the person anymore or trying to convert them because they're unconverted. They're an unbeliever. How can you convert an unbeliever? You can't. You just can't. Now, notice that Jesus... Listen. You can't convert an unbeliever. They're ordained an unbeliever. And I say, well, weren't we all unbelievers? No, we just didn't understand. We just didn't know. We had nothing to unbelieve. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth the world speaking lies. But when that word struck, like Brother Brown said, it doesn't take 20 years for that message to soak in. When that mother eagle's cry went forth, a little eagle lifted up and said, yeah, that's for me. I identify with that voice. Didn't take me two tapes, three tapes, four. The very first tape I heard, in fact, it was the story about the chicken and the eagle and the chicken. That's the very first tape I heard. But it just captured me right there. Now, notice that Jesus says the same thing in verse 11 when he says to them it's not given. You see, this message, it wasn't sent to them. And that is because they're not able to understand it. Then he showed you that three-fourths of the examples that Jesus gave us brought forth no fruit after receiving the seed sown to them because it was not meant for them. Remember? Seed sown on the wayside, on stony ground, in the thorns. Three out of the four. Nothing came forth from it. Only one example brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 34. That means only one example out of four actually heard the word, recognized it, and then acted upon it. Matthew 13:8. But other fell into good ground and brought forth some fruit, some 100, some 60 fold, some 30. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, let's continue reading in Matthew what Jesus tells us, verse 12. For whosoever echoes, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. That word echo is the word hath. Greek is echo, but the English is hath. I'm reading the Greek word there. For whosoever echoes, what is an echo? It's not just repeating. It's repeating with the same spirit behind it. Hello! You see, there's an emphasis there. If I say, hello! The echo doesn't come back. Hello? It comes back the same way, with same emphasis. Same spirit. For whosoever is made of such a way to be able to echo back the word, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever echoes not, from him shall be taken even that which he thinks he's echoing. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing aren't actually seeing. And hearing, they're not really hearing. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and shall not perceive what you're seeing. Now notice Jesus quoting Isaiah. He lets us know that to hear means to understand and to see means to perceive. So he is not speaking of the natural eye nor the natural ear, but of the spiritual understanding and spiritual perception from what we do hear and see. Now, let me change the word hear to understand and the word see to perceive as we continue to read what Jesus teaches us here. For this people's heart is waxed gross and their ears are dull of understanding. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should perceive with their eyes, and understand with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they perceive, and your ears, for they understand. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you perceive, and have not seen them, and understand those things which you understand, and have not understood them. So that puts you in a special class of people. The real believers. That is why they long to see and partake of what you have understood and perceived in this hour. Now, there's none of us that saw many of the things that God did in this hour. We weren't there on the scene. In fact, no one saw the schools appear but Brother Branham. But they did eat them. But although we did not see them with our own eyes, we heard of them and understood what we heard and perceived what we were not able to see with our eyes. And Jesus tells us many of the prophets long to understand and perceive what you people understand and perceive sitting here this morning. What a class of people that makes you. A very special and peculiar people, a royal priesthood and a peculiar people. Now from his sermon, hearing, recognizing, and then acting upon the word of God, Brother Branham said, but the church spiritual, ailed by revelation, by grace, he seen beyond that, and by faith he offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And it testified of his righteousness, God, the same thing took place in Ishmael and Isaac. One was of the flesh, the other one was of the spirit. One of the bondwoman, the other of the free woman. It happened the same thing in Israel and Moab, two great churches coming together. And when Israel was wanting to go to the promised place, church spiritual, Jacob's people, Israel, on the road, Esau's people met them, Moab, church powerful, and the great leader of the church, Balaam, come down to curse his brother, but he found that he could not curse his brother. He failed with the blindness of his eyes to see the predestinated plan and to see the word of God. First, faith cometh by hearing the word of God, then the believer hears it, recognizes, and then acts upon it. The carnal man will hear it, the sound of it, but hear means to understand. Look at is looking at something, but to see it is to understand it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. So Brother Branham makes it very clear, seeing is to understand. Now, that is exactly what Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3 and 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these things that thou doest except God being with him. Now notice that Nicodemus did not come because he knew and understood what was going on with Jesus. He came to Jesus because he saw but could not put together himself what was going on right before his very face. Notice his words, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Notice he said, we know you are from God and you are here to teach. And why did he say that? Because he added, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So what he's telling Jesus is that we know you are from God because of what we see. But we do not understand, nor do we perceive what's going on here. And then listen to Jesus' reply. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot understand. Notice Jesus tells him, the reason you can hear and yet not understand, and you can see God is involved with my ministry, and yet you cannot perceive what is going on here, is because you are not born again. Jesus tells him it takes being born again and filled with the Spirit of God to be able to see and perceive the things of God. You must be filled with God's own Spirit in order to understand what it is that you are hearing. But Jesus' words were foreign to his understanding, and he still did not understand when Jesus told him he must be born again. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that's a natural birth, and of spirit, that's not a spirit, but the spirit, which is God's own spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Now, from his sermon, Satan's Eden, Brother Branham said, when by scientific knowledge you can make a understanding gospel of he that believeth on Jesus Christ shall not be condemned, see, but the signs shall follow them that believe. See, he failed to put that there, see. In other words, like the person says, well, John 14:12 is for one person. No, John 14:12, Jesus said, he that believeth, and Brother Branham, and all the scriptures, I mean, take every single one, every language, it says, anyone who believes. And Brother Brown himself said, you know, he is anyone, every believer, and whosoever, etc. All right? So when you take this scripture, but you don't take that, it doesn't manifest. It's just there. Oh, yeah, I believe that scripture, but if it's not, if the manifestation isn't, if the dynamics is not with the mechanics, it don't go. It goes nowhere. You see? Notice we just read where Brother Brown gave us an example of how they can scientifically or with an intellectual reasoning, they can claim, you, he that believeth on Jesus Christ shall not be condemned. See? He says you claim that intellectually and claim to be a believer and claim since you are a believer, you shall not be condemned. But then he says, you leave out, but these signs shall follow them that believe. In other words, God confirms your belief by signs and wonders. And you leave that out yet thinking you're okay, but you claim to believe. And he says, you're only believing on two. Now let's read what he said again. Same thing. Brother Brown said, when by scientific knowledge you can make an understanding of the gospel, he that believes on Christ shall not be condemned, see? But these signs shall follow them that believe. See, he failed to put that in there, see? Then he adds, she believed in Jesus Christ, she's saved, if these signs follow the believer. And he that heareth my word, not just make something, not hear it with the ears, but understand it. Anybody can hear it. A prostitute can hear it and remain a prostitute. A drunkard can hear it. A liar can hear it and still remain a liar. But he that understandeth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. There you are. See, and no man can do that except God foreordained him. See, you know, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draws him, and all the Father given me will come to me. Amen. It's all the sovereignty of God. He lives alone and nobody... And there's nobody to tell him what to do. Now, look, that's why I say, you know, you can come and say, well, you know, pray for this person, pray for that person, pray for it. You know what? I can do it. You can come to me 40 times and say, you know, I'm asking you to pray for this person. I say, well, you already asked me once. You don't have to ask me 40 times. If you really believe that God answers prayer, then you just have to ask him once. That's it. You don't have to pray every day. You know, just like some of these prayer requests we have. We need to change those. You know, it's good to pray for people. We don't, you know, and if you want to continue to pray for, I mean, look, we should pray for each other every day. But every day our circumstances change. But we don't want to keep the same circumstance on the page. So we just mention the people's names from now on, just, you know, and whatever needs they have. We love that person, let's pray for this person. We love this person, let's pray for this person. That kind of thing. The Apostle Paul also tells us the same principle, that you cannot understand the things of God unless you're born again. 1 Corinthians 2. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The Lord of the opinion, value, and judgment, right? But as it is written, I have not seen, perceived, nor hath ear heard, understood, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, that's God's Spirit, searches all things, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man except the Spirit of man is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. It's impossible. Because they are spiritually discerned, and he's not spiritual. And if they are spiritually discerned, then it takes the Spirit to discern them. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we do have the mind of Christ. Now, I think we're getting ready to close. But we're looking at this thought that hearing is to understand and seeing is to perceive, and therefore it is not what you hear with your ears that counts, but what you hear with your soul and understand with your heart that counts. And Brother Brown defined a person who is a believer as someone who is filled with God's Spirit. From proving his word, he said, now, we see another thing we see another one. Then no doubt have heard them say, well, seeing is believing. That's another old proverb that we have here, but that doesn't work either. It doesn't work because man can see and look right straight at anything and they'll not see it. The word see, the English word see, has so many different meanings to it. S-E-A, see, you know, see might mean a body of water, and we might mean to and see might mean to understand. See might mean to look at, there's just all kinds of words that you can use, but when you say seeing is believing, you're mistaken. When you understand it, you believe it. Oh. Wait a minute. Did you hear what he just said? Vindicated the prophet of God? When you understand it, you believe it. Well, Brother Bram, I don't understand what you're saying. Well, that's okay. You believe it? Yeah, okay, that's okay. So they teach, you don't have to understand it, you have to believe it. He just said right here, understanding it is believing. Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. Because if you understand it, that means you have the Holy Ghost. If you don't understand it, it means you don't have the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about the technical details of how the Holy Spirit comes in and does these things. That's up to God. That's not going to give it. I'm talking about the doctrine that the vindicated prophet of God comes, he brings that word, you believe that word, and you understand that word. Because you see that what he's saying is the same thing Paul taught. Now, when you can see the same thing that he taught is what Paul taught, then you can say, I understand. But if you hear what he says and you think it's contrary to what Paul said, you don't have an understanding. When you understand it, you believe it. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, understand the kingdom. Because the kingdom is the Holy Spirit in you. So you have to understand what this is in you. And the only way that you'll understand it is compare what it makes you to do with what the Bible said it would make you to do. Then your problem solved, see? And then he is that Holy Spirit. I love what he just said there. Everybody's looking back 50, 60 years ago. Malachi 4, and they failed to recognize that what Malachi 4 came to do. To restore the hearts of the children to the Father. They should be looking at what's it doing for me today? Where am I along with the adoption of children? Where am I? Am I moving forward? Am I progressing to be that fully mature son? Where am I when it comes to being a son of God, manifested as a son of God? Where am I when it comes to being conformed to the image of the firstborn son? Where am I? Because if you can't see it, manifested in you, you don't see it even upstairs. You don't understand. Therefore, you have the mechanic, but you don't have the dynamics. You have the written word, but you don't have the manifested word. And what we want is the manifested word. Oh my. That is so perfect what he said just there. The only way you understand it is compare what it makes you do with what the Bible said it would make you do. Then your problem's solved. Too many people claim to believe the message, living in adultery, married 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, whatever. Divorce, remarry. Oh, you know, God forgave those people, He'll forgive me. No, you don't. Brother Ram told Brother Collins, he said, the worst thing I ever did was preach marriage and divorce because it opened it up and everybody thought they, too, were forgiven. He said, that sermon, because I told about those 8 people, God had given me a sovereign dispensation for them. They thought it applied to them also, and so everybody run off and do their thing. He said, I wish I would never have said those things. From the paradise. And the Father raised up and said, my son went to the altar, he was baptized correctly in the name of Jesus Christ, and water baptism in the pool. He said, I know my son has come to Christ. I said, that may be all right. All the outward motions. He might be identified as a believer with the believers. But until he's regenerated, born again, I'd advise that young man to never marry a woman. He'll make hell on earth for her until that gentle, sweet, forgiving spirit of Christ comes in. then that will be a paradox in itself to take the very nature of a boy as bred between father and mother, and yet in his intellectuals he's trying his best to overcome it, and he can't do it. He'll never overcome it. Christ will have to overcome it. When he lets Christ in, then he's already overcome then. It'll be a perfect paradox when a man is born of the Spirit of God. Look, never forget, in the beginning was the Word is with God, the Word is God. And he changes not. And if he is the Word, then if he, his life, God's life is in you, this is in you, then everything you do is going to go measure back up to that. Jesus did nothing until the Father revealed through a vision. This is God's book of visions. Shows us how to act and walk and talk and teach. That's why Paul taught us that the author is also the finisher. He that began the good work in you shall also perform it. He never said God will begin it and you will perform it. He said the same one who began the work will be the same one who finishes the work. And that's what he taught us in Philippians 2 and 13. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And that is what I've been saying for years. You cannot do it on your own. You have to die to yourself and let Christ come in and live your life for you. And that is why Paul taught us in Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm alive. Yet it's not me that liveth, but Christ is living in me. And the life I now living in this flesh, I'm living by the revelation of the Son of God, the same revelation that he lived by. 1 John 3 and 7 says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, God, is righteous. Therefore, the doing of what the Word deems as righteous is the evidence that the righteous life is in you, manifesting itself through you. Therefore, the doing is the manifestation of the Word. You understand? Therefore, the doing shows the evidence of the righteousness, which is the right-mindedness, is in you doing. Therefore, the doing is the dynamics upon the mechanics. Therefore, anyone who says they believe and does not do is not a believer but a liar. Because the Bible is very definitive. If you do not do what is righteous, then how can you call yourself righteous? In fact, we read 1 John 2:29, if you know that he, God, is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Now, why do we know that? Because the law of life in Genesis 1:11 tells us every seed must bring forth after its kind. If you claim to be a Christian, Christ-like, if you claim that you are born again, you will live Christ, breathe Christ, speak Christ, act Christ. Look, John 14:12 is just, it's so simple. If you're a believer, if you're truly born again, if you have the same nature that was in Jesus, you'll do the same things he did. You can't help it. It's God working in you to will and to do. And God shows you what to will, and then he shows you what to do. A brother I've said in his sermon, Marriage of the Lamb, he said, if you notice it, she has made herself ready. So many says, well, if the Lord will take this evil spirit from me, from drinking or gambling or from lying or stealing, I'll serve him. But that's up to you. You got to do something too. They that overcome shall inherit all things. They that overcome. You have a power to do it. You must be willing to lay it down. See? She has made herself ready. I like that word. You see, God could not push us through a little pipe, pull us out of the other end, and then say, blessed is he that overcomes. You had nothing to overcome. He that pushed you through. But, you've got to make decisions for yourself. I have to make decisions for myself. In doing that, we show our faith and respect to God. Now, what's he saying? When God reveals to you how to do a certain thing, and you do it, then it's no longer you doing it, but Christ in you. You see that? The Word in you. The anointed Word in you. But when God shows you in his Word to do something and you don't do it, now that's your will. That means you're not dead yet. You haven't died to yourself. For Marriage of the Lamb, said Abraham was promised a child, but he must maintain this promise for 25 years. The ups and downs that he had and the temptations in those 25 years, but he held to every word of the promise. And Israel was promised a promised land, but they had to fight for every inch of it. Wherever the soles of your feet tread upon, that I have given you. God said to Joshua, it was all there, the land was there, and God gave it to them, but they must fight for it. From marriage to the Lamb, the same way it is about divine healing. God got the power to heal you if you've got the courage to accept it. But you fight every inch of the way. God's got amazing grace to save you, and he will do it, but you'll fight every inch of your way. I've been behind the pulpit going on 31 years, and every inch of that has been a fight, constantly. It certainly has. But we must fight if we must reign. So we find out that the bride has to make herself ready. Be willing. Be willing to. Lay aside every weight that does so easily beset us, that we might run with patience the race that is set before us. We must lay them aside ourselves. We can't say, God, you come lay them aside for us. We got to do that ourselves. So when we read, it is God working in you to will, that's God bringing his Bible into you, showing you his will. And then it says, and God willing, working you to will and to do, then God shows you what to do. He shows you right here. Remember, God is the Word. And then you step into that Word and you will and you do. We've got to do that ourselves. That's our part of it. From seed shall not be erred. Now, if you'll take St. John 5:24, listen to him. He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. Now, that word has is echoes everlasting life. Now, how would that be so much different from any of our theology? Now, I could walk out here and say to a drunkard, do you believe? Sure. A man with another man's wife. Do you believe? Sure. Did you sit in a meeting last night to hear the word? Sure. Do you believe it? Sure. He's just saying that. But the original interpretation of this word, he that understandeth my word and will believe on him that sent me has everlasting life. And the word has, look it up in your concordance, is echoes everlasting life. Why? Because you understand. You see, because the mechanics is there and you understand the mechanics, it is natural then that the dynamics or the manifestation of what you understand takes place. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. He that doeth shows that in here he's got a thinking man's filter, a righteous man's face. But the original word of this says, he that understandeth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. That is to who it's made known to. Jesus said, no man can come to me except that my Father has brought him, and all that my Father has given me, they will come. My sheep, my doves, hear my voice, a stranger, they will not follow. And what is the voice of God? It is the word of God. What's any man's voice but his word? It's the word of God. They'll hear the word of God. Now, from the Easter seal, Brother Brown said, see, but he that understandeth, he that knoweth his place in this hour, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath, present tense, everlasting life, shall not come into the judgment, but already has passed from death unto life. Then when this new eternal life dwells in you, it is the potential of the earnest of you being quickened from mortal to immortality. Let me say that again. When this spirit has found you, the individual, and has come upon you, it is the potential of your eternal inheritance that God thought of you and made for you before the foundation of the world. That is your potential. Like if you asked me for an oak tree and I gave you an acorn. Now, the life of the oak tree is in the acorn, but now you have to wait till it grows up. And let me just say this. We have been waiting now and are laying in the presence of the sun to ripen. After Brother Bram preached the seven seals, the people said, well, what do we do now, Brother Bram? He said, just be a good Christian and live a godly life. In other words, let this word soak into you until it changes you from mortal to immortal. But the Easter seal said, now, the little eagle probably in the barnyard was eating all right, but he knowed it wasn't just exactly right. But then when he heard the truth, when he received this truth, now in John 5:24, Jesus said, speaking this way, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath, echoes, everlasting life, and shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Just think how simple that is. He that believeth. Now, the correct way of saying that is he that understandeth. Now, in the next paragraph, Brother Van brings it right down to knowing and understanding Godhead, presence, and your relationship with the Father. Let's just read it for ourselves. from seed is not heir with the shuck. He said, now see, here it is. There is no judgment to the royal, spiritual, predestinated seed of Abraham, for they are predestinated to eternal life. They have accepted God's provided sacrifice, and that sacrifice, which is Christ, the Word, and there is nevertheless, and there is therefore now no condemnation, St. John 5:24, if you want the scripture, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1, who walk not after the flesh, but the Spirit. And Romans 5:24, he that heareth my word, the word there is understandeth. Any drunkard, anything gain, hear it and walk away. But he that heareth my word, understands my word, and believeth on him that sent me, has everlasting life, echoes everlasting life, and shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Yes, sir. He that this great mystery of God made known, understand how that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, how that he and the Father were one, how the great mysteries of the fulfilling of God, taking and bringing himself, manifested in the age of human beings and in the strain of human beings and in the company of human beings, to make his word manifested in the day, in the eastern rising of the sun, and do the same thing as the sun sets in the west, to make himself manifested in a bride, the word made manifest. See, it will to he that understandeth, that is to know, that's been revealed to him, of him that sent me, has everlasting life and will not come into the judgment, but has passed from death unto life. And from what shall I do with this Jesus? And now, as you know, have our heads bowed, faith, by faith in God, and you help me to be honest, but knowing that you promised that he that will come to me, I will in no wise turn him out. And I'll give him eternal life, and I'll raise him up in the last days. He that will confess me before man, him will I confess before my Father and the holy angels. He that heareth. Now the real interpretation of St. John 5:24, there it is. He that understandeth, that receiveth my word. He that receiveth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and will not be called to the judgment. You won't come to the judgment bar like Oswald will. You'll have passed with a free pardon from death unto life. Lord, I don't know how, I don't know why, but I believe it's happened. I believe that in my heart, my unbelief is gone. I can freely say amen to every word that you say, and I accept it right now. I have believed it. And from Jehovah Jireh, when you become a born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit upon you, you're heir to every one of those promises. Now, you know, it's like I said, a big arcade. For we're baptized into the arcade, but by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. That body is Christ, which is the royal seed of Abraham, and heirs everything that's in it. Amen. Everything that was in God, God poured into Christ. Everything that was in Christ, he poured into the believer. God above us, God with us, and God in us. Everything, every promise in the book is yours. And if you can believe it, if you have faith enough to accept it and believe it. And remember, get out the book. Now, if you don't have it, I've got a copy you can have. But Christ the Healer, Brother Brown talked about that book written by Brother Bosworth for your healing. You've got to understand the word concerning healing in order to get your healing. You have to understand. Because if you don't understand, you say, well, I believe it. And then, yeah, but the devil, you believe what the devil tells you too. So how can you believe two things? How can a fountain give pure water and bad water? You see, you're listening to your doctors. You're listening to your doctors. And your doctor says, well, you got high blood pressure, take this medication. You know what that medication does? It kills you. It's a slow death. It's a slow death. There's no reason for anybody taking blood pressure medication when you can just change your diet and it'll change. It's a slow death. And those doctors are trained in poisons. That's all they know, is poisons. This is not poison, my brother and sister. This has no side effects except for health. Believe God. When I broke my back, and the doctor said, well, it's going to take 6 weeks for those two broken bones, it's going to take 6 weeks for your back from the trauma, to, you know, you're going to have to be in pain pills and all this for the trauma, it's going to take you 6 weeks for that, you know, to go away, finally to a place where your body settles down, and those two little bones will begin to work their way back, and they will attach themselves to your spine. And I read where William Branham claimed his healing. I was just a young man. I read with Brother Brown. He claimed his healing. And so his mother fixed him whatever it was that he couldn't eat. I forget what it was. But and he took it down. He began to throw up. He coughed the throw up and swallowed it back down. And he said, you know, by his stripes I'm healed. And that was the end of that problem. So the next morning I got up. And I went to school to do my student teaching, and I did my student teaching, and I couldn't sit down. The pain in my back was so bad. I could rest against things, so I could rest on the edge of the chair like this, you know, with my hand, and just kind of take pressure off one foot, and then I'd change, take it off the other foot, and I did that for 8 hours during the day. Then I'd do my student coaching, and I went to the hockey rink to coach my team that I was doing my student coaching. And I said, "Lord, I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. By His stripes, I'm healed." I laced up my skates as tight as I can get them, and pretty hard because it was so painful to reach over to pull those things tight. But I got them on, I tightened them up. I stepped out on the ice, and it's like a bolt of lightning went through my body. It was so, I've never felt pain like that in all my life. And all of a sudden, the next thing, like I said, the first step out of the ice, boom, it hit me. Second step, I was skating. Third step, I was skating. I skated around the rink. I was just rejoicing because I took God at His word. Your problem is you have these things upon you because you don't trust God. Well, what medication can I take that, you know, that'll take that away? No, medications don't do anything but take the side effects away. And they give you another side effect. It's like if I went to the, he said, "Well, I'm tired of that buzzer going off my car all the time. I get in, the buzzer going off. I just go in there, I take a snipper and snip the wire, and I won't hear the buzzer anymore. And your car's on its way to death." And that's all your medication's doing. It just unplugs that signal from your body so you don't know what's wrong with you. And you're on your way to death. Stop doing those things. Brother Don has a wonderful testimony of where the doctor told him, you know, you're going to be on this thing the rest of your life. He said, "I changed my diet. My blood sugar level went from 160 down to 96. Well, 100 is normal. God gave us the foods. Genesis. Things that are good for us. He didn't give us all these poisons. Those are man-made. I worked with 180 doctors for 10 years, and I'd say at least 160 of them were quacks. Some of the dumbest people I ever met in my life because they're so indoctrinated by their traditions. Well, the book says this, so therefore we do this. Who paid for the book? The big pharma. Big pharma pays for the book. So I'm reading what big pharma says, and big pharma says, "Take more of my pills so that I can make more money." Oh, yeah. They don't put that in there, but that's the underlying intent. So the doctor says that. Only one out of 180 doctors, one had the courage to say it. And he's sitting on the board. He said, "You know, you doctors, you think that you're somebody special." He said, "You're taught from the time that you're a youth. Oh, you're gifted. You know, you're really bright. You know, you should become a doctor." And then, then you apply yourself and you do better and better and better. And so, you know, your whole life you're told you're somebody great. So everybody should listen to you. He said, "You ought to listen to your patients. They know more about their illness than you do. They do more research than you do. You're so busy with the administration from going from this, you know, you got to pull the people through every 15 minutes. You can only spend 15 minutes with the patient. So you go in, you pump them full of pills and whatever, because that's what the manual says. And that's not being a real physician." Now, that was the only one out of 180 doctors that really had common sense. There was other doctors. They told me, "Hey, Brian, you know, you've got more medical knowledge than we do. I'm not even trained to be a physician. But I do my own homework. I study. And I'm not guided by somebody's book on how to do. I'm guided by one thing. That's this." I remember a young man years ago, I heard him in a meeting. He got up and testified. He said, "You know, I've done a job as a medalist." And he said, "Everything I learned from Brother Branham. All about all the different minerals and everything else." He said, "I learned from Brother Ram. I didn't learn it from a book." He said, "I got a really good job working for a big company." Abraham Lincoln had two books, the Bible and History of the United States. And it developed his character to the place where he became the greatest leader this nation has ever had. It's not about, look, I had a brother write to me and say, "You know, brother, I appreciate, you know," he wrote to me and was asking for money for to help his kids with their college. And I said, well, brother, or their education. And the brother, I said, yeah, we homeschool our kids. I said, they went on to college, and they did really well in college. He wrote back to me, well, you don't understand, brother, but, you know, you got such a, you know, you got, you and your wife have this great education and this and that. And I wrote back to the brother. I said, no, that's not true. And you know, he said, well, my father was just, you know, he lived like a caveman, you know. He lived to be 103 years old. So, well, that's better than these doctors and everything else that they have their PhDs. And well, my father lived like a caveman. And, you know, he said, I'm the first one in my family to get an education. And my son is the first one to get a college education. I'm going to write him back and say, look, I already wrote back. I showed him a list of 14 of our presidents were homeschooled. 14 out of 45, that's one-third of the presidents that led this great nation were homeschooled. Abraham Lincoln was self-taught. Self-taught. Now, his mother taught him how to read and write, but after that, he read his Bible and read the, you know, the history of the nation. Steve Jobs, you know, had 2 months of college. So did Bill Gates. About 2 months of college, they quit. Wealthiest men that this nation has produced. Same with Walton, you know, Sam Walton. He was an eighth grade education. Education, look, all education can do for you is to make you stupider and stupider and stupider. Now, I know you need that piece of paper to get a job in many cases. But unless you're really targeting specific things where you need that piece of paper, it just dumbs you down. We need one book. This Bible. This is God's Word. And it'll produce in you whatever God wants for it to produce in you. And whatever you're open to it producing. But don't leave it here, in here. And then close it. Some people, they leave their Bible sitting in the pew all week long. They don't take it home with them so they can read it during the week. Because you're not reading it here anyway. It's all up here for you. This is God. He wants to talk to you. Don't read it like a book. It's a love letter. Read it one thought at a time. 2004, when we went to Congo DRC, the brothers after the meeting came up to me and said, well, one thing we've learned for certain in these meetings is that we learn how to read our Bible. They've been just reading, you know, like some people, I read the Bible 3 times. Really? What did you learn? What does it say? What did he say to you? This is God's gift to us. It's him in word print form. But he wants you to take it from the page and bring it into here and live it through here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you are the Word. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld, we openly, with open eyes and open heart, we beheld that declaration of your Son who declared you. And now that same Word which he declared is living in us. We've not only heard it, but we've recognized it, and now we're acting upon it. And this we pray, that the mechanics and thy dynamics will become one, even as you and your Son. You who are the mechanics and your Son became the dynamics of that mechanics. And God became flesh. This we pray in all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing that song from number 622. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee, just like he shined upon Moses, until your faith becomes his faith. Oh.